Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Galactic Earth Fusion, the program that discusses the normal, the paranormal, the natural, the supernatural, the organic to know the inorganic, the weird, the wonderful, all things outrageous, strange, upbeat, and cutting edge, supporting our local communities, internet families, and all forms of sovereign media from around the globe, broadcasting from the heart of the beautiful snowy Blue Ridge Mountains, just minutes from Asheville, land of the sky. I'm your host, Missy Hill. This is also the show that's been on hiatus for 5 months, and I'm finally back and glad to be joined with Wendy Morrison from Gaia Rising Now TV. I'm going to bring Wendy right on, and we are ready to go. How are you, Wendy?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing very good. I actually just came back from that infrared sauna wrap thing where we were talking about the infrared on your show. You know, this is an impromptu show because yesterday you interviewed me on your show, and I just felt I wanted to, you know, do the honors and have you, because I feel this is important information, and the medium of which you're doing it through the internet TV is quite important. So, Wendy, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got you interested in putting this Gaia Rising Now TV program on.
Well, I'm a shaman and natural born. I've been dealing with paranormal, UFO, information, activity, communication, satanic elements, MK Ultra elements, interdimensionality, since I was a kid. So, being that, these things are more, you know, common knowledge, I mean, such as that is, at least people are talking about it now. You know, back then, you know, you don't really know that you're any different from anybody else, you know. And so just my life's path of self-discovery and seeking answers for things that were, you know, just coming at me at a very early age, and just my conclusions about that. And then realizing, you know, how important the information is, especially right now. I sort of got to the point where it was normal, you know, like paranormal was normal, so I didn't really think that anybody needed to talk about these things. I mean, I did, but not really. It was so, just the extreme paranormal was so commonplace in my life that, and from such an early age that I didn't really see myself going out into, you know, the world talking about it. I've been talking about it through my music my entire career as a singer-songwriter in Los Angeles. And so, I don't know. It got to the point where, I'm sure you see this too, there's so much misinformation being fed to people. And being that I am 54 years old and I have the luxury of knowing history, you know, certain elements of history before they changed history on top of everything else, I just realized that, hey, I've got things that I need to share, not because I think that there needs to be another person out there, but there kind of does. There's each one of us brings to the table our story, our personal experience, and it's just one little sliver of a bigger picture. And so I felt that there was some elements in my story, in my personal experience, that needed to be added to the larger voice. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and you're talking about with the Gaia Rising Now TV.
Yeah, Gaia Rising
okay,
Now.
Okay, and we'll have to put the now back in there because Actually, it didn't let me edit anything anyway, but when people click on this link, they'll see the corrected, everything corrected, although the initial link, I don't know, the blog talk stuff's gotten weird. But anyway, you talk about how activism and our artistry and all these things coming together in the show, because the way you've built this show, you've built it in a very artistic way. So tell our listening audience a little bit about that. And I just got a bunch of cat fur in my mouth.
Yeah, a daily experience, right?
Puffy got on top of me.
Well, I wanted to, being that my background, you know, as a shaman is not only in energy, but it's as a musician, as an artist, and I'm not just a musician. I'm as most of artists are, you know, we're multimedia, and I just was able to, from an early age, commit myself to that wholly, and move forward in every sort of artistic medium that I personally had, you know, the ability to do so in. And as a shaman, you know, those art and spirit are kind of the same, you know, entity, just different faces of it. And then looking at the climate, there's a lot of heavy, heavy, serious, scary information being delivered, in a way that is not easily digested, say for the early, you know, risers right now. You know, those of us that have been awake for a while, you know, I can listen to just about everybody and the way they deliver their message and break it down and, you know, like, oh, I know what they're saying, and that's this and that's that, and I understand that. But the person that's just waking up right now, they're hearing all this stuff coming at them, and it's, you know, what is interdimensionality? You know, what is the multidimension? There's terminology that I think it makes it scary, for even more scary than it needs to be for people. So I wanted to present the information in a way that, number one, tied our creative selves to the spiritual element, and our indigos. I mean, I'm an indigo, and we're the activists. You know, most of us are the ones that are on the front line, because it's designed within our human DNA to do such. And there's a lot more indigos out there than even are acknowledged to themselves. They've been labeled by, you know, the psychiatric system as anti-authoritarian or you know, antisocial, troublemakers. You know, that's part of the punk rock movement that I came out of. You know, yeah. We're the dissident, you know. We're the ones that are saying, you know, I don't think this is right, man. And we need all the indigos to stand up right now. We need people to recognize themselves as such. And it's only going to happen if, you know, the people that are just waking up are able to take this in a safe way for themselves. And I just wanted to add to that, you know, to bringing scary information to the table in a way that's more inspiring than overwhelming.
Yes, absolutely. And what I think is cool is you recognize me, because I'll tell people how you actually found me was through Fellow Blog Talk in 5D Radio, Michelle Wong and Greg Prescott. I happened to write an article for in 5D, and actually I had been on hiatus and only been a guest on people's shows, like Elizabeth Diamond's or Forever show, and then Michelle's show a few times, you know, so I've been doing a few shows. And then just yesterday, your thing, which is going to air, what's the date?
It'll be the 15th of March. I believe that's the Sunday. That is a Sunday. If that's the third Sunday in March, the 15th, which I think it is, because I don't have a calendar in front of me, then that's it. It'll be regardless. It's the third Sunday in March, and it'll be 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
And go ahead and tell our listening audience right now to how they can subscribe to that and find it on YouTube, because it is on YouTube.
Yeah, it's. I like to direct people to the main site, which is GaiaRisingNow.org. All the current shows, the current episode will be right there in the TV screen. And then the playlist is logged there, so if you want to keep watching, you can see the back episodes.
Okay. I see. So it's actually
but
the
it
web
feeds,
posting.
You're correct in that it feeds out of YouTube. So it's also accessible. That same playlist is accessible on my Orange Ray 3 channel on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get that in there.
Oh,
so
I appreciate it so much, honey.
Thank you.
You
were drawn to me. We started chatting a couple months ago. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
you I recognized right away. I read your article, and I was like, I want to talk to her. And I looked for you on Facebook, and I just, you know, Lirans recognize Lirans, and, you know, Vega people are very specific, and I saw the indigo in you, and just our conversations, just really a lot of synergy. I adore you, Missy. You're so awesome, and you've done so many just diverse things. It's just you bring a wealth. Such a wealth of information, and I was just so honored that you could relate to me and find commonality with just, you know, my platform.
Well, thank you so much, and I feel the same about you. And I had to send you some of that punk music from back in the day.
That was so hilarious. As I told you, it kind of oddly reminded me of Devo. I don't know why, or B-52s, but just wow, the things that we saw. I feel so sad for the younger people. Oh, I sound like my own grandmother. I feel so young, so sad for the young people. No, but the music that we were able to embrace, I mean, growing up and experiencing the 60s and Motown and then punk rock and new wave and all of its elements, I don't know, there was a lot of inspiration for people within that, you know. There was a lot of activation even, you know.
Yes, yeah, we were also talking about the other pieces that go along with that. See, the thing of today is the music is total mind control. And we did talk a little bit about
that. Oh, my
that.
God, yeah, 100%.
I don't want to go there. But what I did, we did talk about, we were talking about where the collective is. And I remember saying this on your show yesterday. I said something like, I felt that there's a collective type of inertia and entropy, and yet there's something within humanity also that wants to spring forth. And I'm feeling this in my body. Like, there has to be a newness, like allowing the density to be lifted so a new form of creativity can come in. Because at times it looks like one step forward, two steps back. You know, on your show, we talked about how time travelers can come in and change the timelines again. So it looks like we're moving forward, and then it looks like we're not, because we see, you know, what's happening in the landscape of our reality and the hologram of the news. I mean, we can't judge by what we see when we look at that stuff as far as a barometer of where we really are, but sometimes that gets discouraging. So I just want to hear your take of where you think we are as a collective, and we'll talk about some of the tools, this show being a tool to help give people positive feedback of what's really happening behind the scenes. Is another form of alternative media, because this would be not just alternative media, this would be sort of the alternative media.
I think that it's, you know, there's signs everywhere. And so we need to read the signs, you know, of the cabal and what they're saying. And so when you read what they're saying, through this Madonna, the Madonna ritual, you know, and even on top of it, just as of last night, the new analysis of that fall she took was actually that she meant to do it in symbology of the fallen angel because of where, and it's interesting because when I saw somebody else analyze it that way, I went back to my original thought when I saw the scene of her falling, I was like, well, that looks choreographed. And so, yes, I do believe once again they were showing us something. And the thing is that so what? So what? They only have the power that they have if we buy into it. I mean, that's really the way I feel about it. And being an indigo, I'm sorry, you can't have that from me. I'm not going to buy into what your version of reality is because I understand that it is just your version of it, and you are not the end all. So that said, you know, I do believe that what they want us to believe, that there is no hope, that we are doomed, that there's no way out of this gig, is their version of what they want us to believe. And I know I've always gone by what I feel from coming from within. Like, I don't read a lot of books. I'm not a follower of people. I've wanted my awareness to stay pure from the time I realized I had an awareness, which was when I was a teenager. And some of that is, you know, the rebel indigo in me. But I wanted to, and being a Virgo, because I'm constantly questioning myself. I mean, that's another part of it. It's like, you know, the logic of Mr. Spock, and God bless him, rest his soul, Leonard Nimoy, we lost. But, you know, the constantly questioning myself, like, oh, really? Did I really experience that? Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. You know, my whole life doing that, like, it's sort of, I'm really strong about what I know is true. Because it comes from within, and I'm not really influenced by, you know, what's going on or what people tell me or what I read or whatever. And what comes from within me is a deep connection to the fact that we are going through something. Okay, there's no doubt about that. But we are going to do this. We are going to do this. We're going to see humanity embodying its original design. We're going to see this happen. It's already happening. And yes, there's growing pains attached to that. And yes, there's, you know, elements that are coming after us and targeting us and trying to stop us. But I really, and of course, as we talked about yesterday, we have to take care of our vehicle and all the ways that, you know, we talked about. But I think the mind is the key. The heart and the mind are always the key. The mind is the creator, and the heart is the spark that projects that into reality. And I really believe that we have it within us to do this. We have it within us to do this. Our planet, she'll take care of herself, but we have to collectively unify. The key word is unify, and yes, the energies are wacky. From last week, I could barely move. Yesterday, I had a great day with you. Today, this morning, it was like, whoa, they are just targeting so hardcore. I laid down and got up, and I felt a million times better, and the energy feels a little bit different. But it, just as we speak, the energy feels completely crazed. I mean, just we're definitely reaching, you know, that, what, there's a Mars-Venus, I think it's a square, isn't it? In Capricorn, which brings in Saturn, and I think there's a Pluto element. So, yeah, we're sitting on top of
there's
something right as we speak.
Too. I saw that.
Yeah.
There's a Uranus element, but I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, the
what
Uranus, that's what it is. Yeah, it's Uranus, not Pluto. Or maybe there is an additional Pluto. But, yeah, it's we're sitting on top of something. And you know, so you've got the Aries, I think it's the Aries full moon coming up on the 4th. So we're just you know, within days of that. And then you've got the Venus-Mars element. So you're going to have, like, you know, clashes of the sexes or just the integration of the feminine and masculine elements.
That's been going on anyway. That's been a big piece, the whole patriarchal domination. I think we talked about that yesterday, too, and I've even noticed that with our rooster here, which we talked about because he was a little bit rowdy yesterday and kind of jumping on me because I forgot he doesn't like cell phones. He's already told me telepathically he hates cell phones, and
I
walked
out
there talking to somebody with a cell phone, and he jumped on me like an attack.
Mad.
But, you know, don't use your patriarchal domination to let me know that. And he's been bored because there's been snow on the ground, and he's not able to go out and forage and do the things that he does. So,
yeah.
But him coming has brought in this piece to do with sustainability, where my husband has decided now he wants to get hens. And we did talk about this a little bit on Elizabeth's show, her Diamonds call, about the 21-day. It takes 21 days to make a change, you know, like to break a habit, to start a new habit. That Robert Kassar was talking about 21-day challenges and Fully Raw Christina. And not even Listerine. This is so weird. I saw this YouTube commercial. Listerine had a 21-day challenge. And then I think we talked about, because I had done this thing with the Tarot 22 days. I was getting this whole piece about in the Tarot deck, the World card, which is basically what your show to me represents as the, you know, the positive outcome of the World card.
Yeah,
the Tarot.
I agree.
Now, what's interesting about that is Beyoncé has her 22-day vegan food delivery or something like that.
I know.
We talked about that, too. This is interesting that even the mind control people.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's crazy. There is so much symmetry and synchronicity between events. And you know, I think that the message that continually gives me, because it's coming tenfold. Like we were talking yesterday, it used to be I would notice those things, you know, here and there, but now it's like every day there's some sort of crazy synchronicity, like just like what you just, you know, exemplified. And so that tells me we are in a co-creative program for sure. That verifies that 100%. And in embracing that, it allows, you know, the real integration of what a virtual reality is into my psyche. You know, it's not just a concept. Like now I'm really, really going, yeah. So life is starting to feel even more like the Matrix than ever.
Exactly.
You know, I've dabbled with testing the Matrix on many occasions. So I totally get that things can be suspended. You know, I've experienced that. But that's why I'm trying to encourage people to stay positive. And it breaks my heart when I see so many of the light workers, you know, just feeling suicidal tendencies. It just hurts me. It hurts me so deeply, and it angers me as well because, you know, we don't deserve to be treated this way. But I want people to remember that this is exactly why it's important to not only conceptualize but really, really emotionalize these experiences, because when you can get a sense of it, you know, like a person can't can't find love if they've never been loved. You know, they don't know what love is, so they draw to, you know, what we magnetize, you know. So for us to magnetize this beautiful, you know, new earth that you're, you know, speaking about, this burgeoning new earth, we need to be able to get inside that virtual reality program and manifest it from inside. That really seems to be the message I'm getting, is getting inside the program.
And connect with those that are in the same resonance field, so we could be, it could be a co-created reality on a higher platform. It is very similar to the Celestine prophecy, where we're going to be, you know, it's not that we're going anywhere. You know, people thought, oh, the ascension was sort of like the Christian rapture, that we're going to go to a 5D planet, and it's not about 5D, it's about,
no,
you know, 12 dimensions, 12 strand of DNA, 12D,
yep,
and beyond, up to 15 and beyond that and whatever. But, I mean, it's like the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions are sort of all, you know, merging together in different aspects. You know, fourth is, we have astral experiences, and, you know, fifth dimension is, you know, more about communication and being in the flow,
right,
and things like that. And then that sixth dimension obviously has that Sirian element and different things, and I know you're into the Arcturians, which is that seven. However, you know, all these, and that's just future time. That's just looking at,
sure,
you know, the speed of how things are, how the density of how fast or slow. And, you know, we come up with these words, you know, like dimension, which has to do with, you know, electrostatic fences and buffer fields, and how, you know, things on a quantum level, you know, react to each other as far as particles. So anyway, you know, that people, I think people need to pull back. I don't know where I was going with that, but I feel like sometimes people need to pull back and really go within and also observe outside, because, you know, then you'll start to see the different,
yes,
timelines as far as how they're interplaying with each other.
Absolutely. Well, what you said about ascension, I want to talk about that, because that was very, very important in mentioning.
Well, we're going to go with ascension. It's embodiment. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. People think they're going to go somewhere, and they are. They're going to a higher resonance within themselves. And what happens, and this is why, it's almost like, to me, I can almost see that all that happens is that, so I, you know, raise my frequency. So let's say I raise my frequency to a higher frequency. So now things that are lower in vibration, I don't magnetize them anymore, because they're not in my frequency range. And so now the only people that I'm you know, vibrating with and magnetizing are people that are at the same, because we always magnetize what we are. So I'm magnetizing now people that are, you know, mirroring my frequency. And so I didn't leave Earth. And you know what, Missy? Perhaps those lower frequencies are here just in another dimension that we now don't interface with. Suppose it's like that. You know, because it probably is. It probably is. And you just, when you raise your frequency, you're raising your level to mirror into or connect into or interface into the next dimension, which those lower frequencies can't access. So, again, we didn't leave the Earth. We, you know, we've just changed our frequency. And which doesn't mean that the planet Earth isn't also going through a once-in-a-lifetime, no one's ever seen it, you know, dimensional shift herself.
Now, what's going to happen here is it says it's going to go, it's going to end, but actually we have some time after where it goes into the recording over the fax. So I don't know if you hear her in the background saying,
oh, no,
seconds.
I didn't, I'm sorry.
So Yeah, that's okay though. Keep going because we have some time, even though she said.
Oh well, I don't.
Seconds.
I mean, that's all. I just think that it's important for people to stay positive, and I know our minds make it difficult because we can only see the answers that we can see from our limited perspective. But in truth, in fact, there's so much more. You know, let go of the ego. We don't know everything. Guess what? You know, there's all kinds of different solutions that we don't know because we just don't know. But I think that if we can master recognizing this place as a virtual reality and realizing how vitally important it is to project our imagery in the way that we want it, not the way that we don't want it, because, of course, when we focus on what we don't want, we're going to get what we don't want. So don't do it. Don't do it.
That's a big, important piece that people need to understand, and that's what the cabal does by showing us all this stuff, because people don't understand that. That's still, you know, even with the secret and things, I mean, I would say the majority of planet Earth still does not understand, you know, our mind creates, and it's not only our mind and our speech, there's emotions, there's timelines, there's past and future, there's our soul family, there's our, you know, monadic family, different other things that connect with all this. So it's not only that, but in most cases it is. So watch what you think, watch what you say, only pay attention to what you want and observe what you want instead of what you don't want. I mean, I was feeling that obviously on some level we're still all connected to this piece of what we don't want because we still see it in our reality. Like, say, we have a friend that's going through a hard time. If that's showing up in our world as a mirror, that means it's still a reflection of, I guess, who we were in the past or something. Do you have something to say about that? Because that gets frustrating where, you know, you may be affirming all the time, and yet we're seeing all these things, and we see what happens in, you know, other countries. You know, we're blessed even with all the problems in this country. We still basically got it really good here compared to other parts of the world, and yet all this other stuff still exists in other parts of the world, which means it's still a reflection of us, because we're all one here, even though we're not all the same. We're one, but we're not all one in consciousness. Some of us are further along, even though we're not really further along. It's like we're running a race, and maybe, you know, we're a couple minutes ahead in the race where these other people are behind us because...
Yeah, I like to call it the cutting edge. We're the cutting edge of you know, a new consciousness, you know, in that sense. We're on the front line, I should say. What I think about that is that I personally don't think that there are as many souls on this planet as they would have us believe are in bodies. So we need to factor that in, and it's not our judgment to decide who is and who isn't, you know, and that's not what it's about. This isn't a witch hunt. But I do believe that this is a theater, and this is a school kind of meshed into one. Whatever they created, it's got layers to it, and there is a design and a purpose to it. So that said, I do believe that there are scenarios that are playing themselves out, tragedies that play themselves out for our benefit. It could be seen as helping us to grow. It could be seen as a way to terrorize us. Maybe perhaps in the way it was originally designed, because if everything is so distorted, you know, there was an original design, and it became convoluted and distorted. And then beyond that, it became an absolute agendized, you know, plan. And now it's so obvious, it's not even a secret anymore. So I do think that we can't, I'm not saying disregard empathy. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that we have to just realize that we can't let that paralyze us. Those painful circumstances when we see, you know, children dying and just these just traumatic, you know, mind bending situations that make us go, how can this possibly be, you know, allowed? And this is just inhumane, and animals being tortured, and just, I mean, if you just sit and wrap your brain around what happens, you know, when they process meat, I mean, go watch those videos. I can't. It rips my soul to shreds. And that's why, you know, I hope that we can eventually get rid of our desire for meat, but and for, you know, killing our animals to eat them, because they are
that's
us.
That's what we're working on, you know. Yeah. That's with the chickens, what we're doing with the eggs, because we're vegetarian in this house, except for
yeah.
our cats.
Yeah. Well,
and,
good
and,
good
and,
luck
and
with that, yeah.
What, and a lot of what they show us, what we see as the torture and the killing, sometimes may be acting, and the real stuff is what we don't
oh, yeah.
see. Because we've seen how this all the world at stage and all the false flags to get people emotionally charged, and what goes on with the ritual abuse behind the scenes of what we are actually seeing in front of us may not be real. And that's what's so confusing, because the subconscious mind knows what's real and what's not real, you know, but it doesn't know the difference in a way, you know, because people watch a movie and get so caught up in the movie, the energy of the movie, the emotions of the movie, and on a certain mind level, you know it's not real, and yet on a bodily level, the nervous system thinks it's real, and this
sure.
actually causes trauma.
Well,
I
know
that part of how they do trauma-based mind control.
Exactly, and that's what I didn't want to go into that area, but what I was going to say is that, you know, the satanic elements that I was targeted with, you know, right away, early on, not only in the physical realm, but in the etheric realm, while it terrorized me at the time, when I was within the circumstances, I didn't present myself as terrorized. I was challenging in certain scenarios, and then I was, you know, like defiantly, and then in other scenarios, I just tried to stay in the shadows, shall we say, so that nobody saw me. But I didn't personally experience. How do you say this? Nobody made me do anything. Like, I didn't want to go into these realms. You know, they were not, like, but I was also not traumatized by them. I didn't go, oh, my God. I just was aware. I was like, where am I? This is crazy. What's going on? No, I don't want to do this. There really is power to our souls. We have angelic DNA. We are more powerful than them. How dare they, you know, like, treat us this way and make us think that we have no power, because you need to understand this, that we have power by saying no to them over and over again. No, and showing them, no, I'm sorry, I'm not afraid of you. No, you cannot do that. No, no. I was telling you yesterday, I say that on a daily basis. When they're knocking at my door, I'm just like, you know, I won't explain what I say because it's filthy, but
well, we don't have the FCC, but that's okay. We know.
We all know those wonderful words of rejection. Get away, you son of a bee.
Right. Exactly.
But I do think that there's a lot of power in that. I think that people don't realize it.
Yeah, I said something about being a tornado of love, that when we're in the vortex and our buffer field, if it's so strong, it could be like a bulldozer, you know, clobbering this stuff and pushing it out of the way. I mean, I feel eventually when we get strong enough, when we align our physical core with our, you know, when we align all our bodies, our spiritual bodies, our physical bodies, and say the heart point, you know, the spine and you know, chakras are kind of changing. I mean, they're not necessarily going away, but they kind of are melding. You know, it's not like focusing on this chakra. It's like a rainbow body of light. And within the physical core, to be resilient, you know, we talked about yesterday being like the bamboo tree, being empty, being resilient, being movable, being pliable. So, like in martial arts, when the punch comes, to be able to deflect and get out of the way, it's actually using the deflection of the energy which is going to take it down, you know, getting out of the way and allowing this to fall itself, because when we fight it, it actually gives it power. So we don't fight it in the way of it attacked it because it attacked us. We kind of just stop giving it energy is what we do. We become so strong within our own selves that we don't need to give it energy anymore. At least that's how I see it.
Oh, yes, that's exactly it. And this, the concept of the singularity seems to really resonate to me thematically right now. Like in the last 6 months, every time I go within, I just constantly see that singularity, and I think it applies to what you just said in staying in that that zone, you know, that zone of no time, no space, and not giving the dramatic value, you know, the emotional content, the emotional spark to allow, you know, what projections they're trying to feed us, you know, not giving it life. Just don't give it that life. Don't give it that spark. Be the ninja. Be the ninja in the singularity, you know, just spinning, you know, doing a flip, a backflip that's just suspended, you know, like they can't touch you. You're not in their zone anymore. And I do.
That's
I just
right.
think that there's a lot of power to that. You know, we can't. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's 7-Eleven. It was 7-Eleven on the East Coast of 411, which is like that dial-up. I wanted to interject that 411, that dial-up over on the Pacific Coast where you are. You know, we used to, years ago, dial 411. We don't have to do it so much, except that I am on a 80s phone. I'm actually on a true landline phone for radio, you know, so I don't have all the yucky sounds. You know, this is an 80s phone. Last of the real phones.
Yeah, I have a very cool what are they called? It's the one that's just one singular piece. I can't think of the name for it right now. It's a vintage but back in the 60s it's got the earpiece and then it looks like an art sculpture and then you dial on the bottom of it. Do you remember that one? I wish I could remember.
I'm not sure.
Anyway. But yeah, I love the old vintage phones. Well, you know, this is a lot of good stuff for people. I hope that they're able to recognize that it's all up to them. You know, there might be elements that you don't know about that are going to come in and aid, you know, the bigger picture. But there's no shortcut around doing one's work, and we're all doing this work together, you know. We're all in this together. So if I do my work, and I said this back in 1993, because I had some songs out, and I got interviewed a lot, and I was constantly talking about these things back then, and people were like, oh, she's kind of weird and eccentric. But the thing that I always stressed was, like, I personally can't just be the one doing this work, because what everything is contingent on everything else. So, I used to say to people, we all have to do this work, because if I do the work and you don't do the work, then I've spent my whole life doing work that you're not doing. And so, you know, the planet's not moving forward because we all have to do this work. It's great that I'm doing the work. It's great that Joe Schmo's doing the work. It's great that Missy's doing the work. It's great that this army of indigos are doing the work and all these light workers and all these artists. But we really, it's not, 100th Monkey isn't contingent upon that. But the fact still remains is that collectively this thing will happen a lot quicker when we're all doing, you know, the 100th Monkey flip will happen sooner if we're all doing this work. And it's facing our shadow right now. We're integrating the shadow side.
Which is the miasmic waste and all the stuff that we talked about. So anyway, we're just about out of time. So what I want to do is, again, for you to tell the listening audience about the next show, the show that's coming up. Actually, yes, I think we're not.
It's this Sunday,
we might have even ended.